Last week, we just briefly were talking about how that we were being, obviously we're Grow Church, we're about growing, and we have that little catchphrase, that little phrase that sums up really who we are, to be everything that God made you to be. And we started talking about what does it mean to be everything that God made you to be? Everything that God made me to be, what does that actually mean if I'm going to be everything that God made me to be? And after all, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "And we who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image," so important, "into his image with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is in the Spirit." That's in 2 Corinthians 3:18. We're talking about what has God made us to be. And so we want to have a look at two things, and of that we looked at being mature, and that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be spiritually mature, and we talked about that last week, about what it means to be spiritually mature. There were some notes given out last week, and if you weren't here last week and you want to get a hold of that, they're in the rack there explaining what does it mean. So last week we talked about what it meant to be mature in the Lord, but I want to just briefly go over the second part, which is to fulfill my purpose in God. So he's created us to be spiritually mature, to grow in our knowledge and experience and our love of God. And so that's about being, but also there's the doing side of it, and that's about fulfilling the very purpose for which God has made us. And that's certainly our heart as the church, that we'll be everything that God made us to be. And if you missed last week, you can listen to the message and just catch up on that. So we talked about being mature, we talked about it being part of our character, and building character, becoming Christ-like. We spoke about that last week and how we exhibit character. But I want to talk about quickly our purpose that God has for us, that we will fulfill the purpose that God has for our life. And every young person asks the question, well, what am I supposed to do with my life? A lot of middle-aged men ask the question, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? Have I done? A lot of older people look back and said, have I really done and fulfilled the purposes of my life? Because King David was one, the scripture says of him, I think it's Acts 13, around about 36, somewhere around there. It talks about David having fulfilled God's purposes in his generation. Is that going to be you? Will you fulfill God's purposes for your life, for your generation? Will you be everything that God made you to be, what he's created you to be? And that's the question I ask myself, but certainly the question that we ask ourselves here at Grow Church, because we're to be everything God made us to be. We spoke about, yes, there's that corporate collective sense and how important it is, the sense of body and belonging and being together, that we be everything collectively but individually. And so what has God called me to be? What has he made me to be? And there's a scripture there in Ephesians 1:5, because the first purpose that God has for us is his purpose that we would be his child, that we would be in relationship with him. That's the first and primary purpose of our life, that we'd be in relationship with him. It says in Ephesians 1:5, it says, in love, and love is the heart of God. God is love. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. It's God's pleasure, it's his heart and his will, and he predestined us for adoption as sons. He's all about relationship. And the first purpose of your life and my life is that we are in relationship with God, that we're in close relationship, intimate relationship with him. And how many people pursue so many other purposes and pursuing this and that and wealth and careers and all this other stuff, which aren't necessarily bad things, but they forsake the most important thing, and that's a relationship with God. That's why God made us, that's why he created us, that we would be in deep, intimate relationship with him. And there's no shortcuts to that. It's more than just coming, rocking up occasionally to church on Sunday. It's about an everyday walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. It's having him close within our heart, praying, talking to him, expressing your heart, hearing from him, opening the word, allowing his word to speak to us. He made you for that purpose. That's the primary purpose of why you live and breathe, is that you have that relationship, that intimate relationship with him. He predestined you that you would be adopted with him. There's another passage, it won't come up on the screen, but I'll read it to you. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is one of my favorite chapters. In verse 20, it talks about us being ambassadors for Christ. In verse 17, it talks about us being new creations, that the old is gone and the new has come. In verse 7, it talks about we live by faith, not by sight. And so there's those encouragements that are there. But in particularly another one there in verse 5, but I'll read verses 1 to 5. It won't be on the screen, but listen. We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a dwelling from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we'll not be found naked. For while we're in this tent, this body, we groan on a burden, because we don't want to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. And verse 5 is the important one. No one, now the one who has fashioned us, in other words, the one who has created you, the one who has made you, has fashioned us for this very purpose, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteed as it is to come. He's made us that would be an intimate relationship for this very purpose that he has made us, that would be in relationship with him. And so if you ever ask the question, what does God want from my life? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? That's the first thing you're supposed to be doing with your life. And if you haven't done that, if you haven't surrendered your life to Christ and then walk in close and intimacy, find the purpose, find the first part of our purpose. Very fundamental, that area of relationship with God, but also the overflow of that is relationship with others. We said last week, you cannot say you love God, and the scripture says that quite clearly. You can't say you love God but hate your brother. There's an overflow. If we truly are on fire for God and have a love and heart for him, that will overflow and be expressed with love for other people. And so our first purpose is, if we're going to be everything God made us to be, I want to be growing, be spiritually mature, and I want to be and do what God wants me to do, or I'm going to have an intimate relationship with him. And so if you're not doing that already, you're missing out on your purpose. And we can make every excuse, oh, I was busy, I had work, I was tired, I had kids, I had this, I had that, I had sickness, I had illness. We can make every excuse, but none of those things stop us having an intimate relationship, and that's why we were created for. And so that's our very first purpose, is to do that. The second part that God has made us for is to be a contributing part of his family. And there's an important verse in Ephesians 4:16. Now, Noel read it last week, and he emphasized the last part as each part does its work, because we're all supposed to be working. We're all supposed to be serving in the body, every one of us. But I want to emphasize some other sections here. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, from him the whole body, that's everyone without exception, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its work. But joined and held together by every supporting ligament. And God has placed you in the family. And a lot, it says he puts the lonely in families, but he puts us in his family. But we are family here together. And part of your purpose is to be joining people together. Maybe Josh and Matthew, you're in the front row. Just come here and volunteer you very quickly. I want you to stand on either side. I haven't spoken to them about this. So anyway, just hold my hand for a moment. Hold it firmly. All right, we're firmly. Okay, this is how we're supposed to be in the church. Maybe stand for a little bit. Joined and held together. Joined and held together. But it doesn't always work that way, does it? Some people forsake this purpose. You can let go of my hands. Yeah, these guys have got strong grips. Their hands are bigger than mine, I think, as well. Joined and held together. But some people, they're not even there. They're just not even there. They're not even present. They're absent. And so there's something missing from the body. The whole body is weakened, because that missing link in the chain is not there. That's you and I, joined and held together. Sometimes you might be there. You guys put your hands out. You get like you're going to hold my hands, but I'm here, aren't I? Yeah, well, I came. But I'm just there. I'm just a blob. I'm not sowing my life into anyone else. I'm not encouraging them. I'm not supporting them. I'm not with them. And every now and again, I might just come, and you can put your hand out like you wanted to hold my hand, but I'm there, wasn't I? I came, I rocked up, I showed up, but I'm not actually doing anything. Sometimes it's like, I'll just go away, I'm busy. No, look, just leave me alone. You know, I'm here. Just you look after yourself. I'm busy. I'm having a hard time. It's joined and held together by every supporting ligament, everyone, and that's how we're supposed to stand together. That's part of your purpose, to be in part of God's body, to be in the family. You're in this family. You're in Grow Church. That we're joined and held together, everyone. And there's such a strength there, because when I'm a bit stronger, these guys are going to hold me. And when they're struggling a little bit, I'll hold them. But we're joined and we're held together by every supporting ligament. Are you a supporting ligament? That's part of your purpose that God has created you for. And people just say, oh, look, I love God and I'm sorry, I pray at home. That might be cute, but it's wrong. It's wrong. We're strong together. We're joined. It's part of my purpose. Joined and held together. Every supporting ligament as everyone, as each part does its work, but we hold one another together. That's part of your purpose. Are you fulfilling your purpose? Relationship with God and standing as part of the family. Thanks, guys. My hands are sore now. But that's how we're supposed to be joined and held together. God doesn't muck around. If we really want to be what God wants us to be, and everyone, we always say, yes, God's number one, and yes, but simple thing, joined and held together. That's why we're in grow groups together, because you have something to help join and to hold them and to support them. They have that for you. And yet we might choose not to do that, or we don't come to church, or we just rock up every now and again. And so the whole body's weakened. Your supporting strength is there. And when you're there and say, yes, I'm going to stand by you, and I'll stand by you, we have such a strength together. But if you come and you're just there, then there's a weakness. And so our heart is, part of my purpose is I want to be one that is strong and contributing to God's family, that we're joined and held together. So if I'm going to be everything God's made me to be, I'm going to grow spiritually, I'm going to be spiritually mature, I'm going to fulfill my purpose, and that is primarily is my relationship with God, number one, my relationship that only comes through Jesus Christ, my relationship with my Father in heaven. But then he's also put me in a family that is joined and held together. And that's why being together is so important. And to be at such a priority that we're together. And the other purpose that we have, if we're going to be everything that we want God has made us to be, is to be actively involved in being Christ's authorized delegate. He's created you. See, you're not an ordinary person. You're not a normal person. And so you don't have a normal life. Well, you shouldn't seek to have a normal life, because you're not normal by the world standard. In fact, you're not normal by any standard. You're actually a supernatural person that's full of the Spirit of the living God. And so don't seek a normal life. You know, the world wants leisure as a principal thing. They'd work because they've got to do, or they want lots of money, and they may seek leisure as the prime focus of their life. Or some may forsake leisure and just going to go for the money. But there's something about, or just a normal life. Look, I just want to go there and I just going to love my family, love my kids and have a normal life. You're not a normal person, so don't seek a normal life. God has said you're a supernaturally empowered person that has the authority in the name of Jesus Christ stamped upon you. He sealed you with the stamp of the Holy Spirit, that you are his and belong to his. And he's given you an authority. And he's given us a command that we go out into all the world and that we share and that we share the gospel. And we've been told that we are his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal from us. And then it goes on and says, we implore you then, be reconciled to God. But you're not a normal person, so don't settle for the mediocrity of normal. Don't seek a normal life. You're not a normal person. You're a supernaturally empowered person who has been given the authority. Jesus delegated his authority. He says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And so we go forth. I'm not a normal person with a normal life, not seeking a normal life. Yeah, sure, you probably have to have a job. Yep, you got to live. Everyone has to live. And yeah, and you've got a family and you've got all the responsibilities, but you don't live your life on that level. You do those things because they're important. But you live up here because you're a supernaturally empowered person who's authorized by Christ to stand in his name and to tell people about the love of God, that they don't have to die and perish in their sins. And so if you really know what is my purpose in life, then that's one of your purposes in life. And again, how many of us, some of them might have said, gee whiz, I'm a 0 out of 2 already, I'm struggling, and then I get to number 3, and maybe we're not really standing in that. Actively standing in the authority of Jesus Christ and reaching out and telling people about his great love for them, about what he did for us. In Matthew 28:18, it says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. What authority that you have, incredible authority invested in you. Christ died on the cross for your salvation, but not for us, our selfish salvation. He died that we would stand in his name and bring that and confess that and proclaim that to those in the world, those that he divinely appointed you to live with and to know and to work with and to study with, and all of those people that God put in your world, that you are there as his authorized delegate with spiritual authority to tell them about his love. And so that's a purpose. That's a really important purpose. But for some, it tends to drop off. And maybe we think, well, I'm doing pretty good. Maybe you've gone and said, look, I've done all right, actually. I'm probably 2 for 2 now. But are you 3 for 3? And I think in all of these, God challenges every one of us, because I don't think any of us are going to be 4 for 4 when we look at the last one all the time. We're growing in all of these things. And yes, it's a journey. But that's such an important purpose, is our relationship with the Lord. It's so fundamental that we are standing together as his body. We're joined as every, what you're supplying, what are you supplying, how are you supporting, how are you holding and encouraging and uplifting what we're supplying, but also as his authorized delegate to go forth and declare the name of Jesus Christ, living as his ambassador, as if God himself was making his appeal through you. What an amazing life. What an amazing thing. If you're bored as a Christian, our life is boring for you, or mediocre, and you're caught in the routine of life, then you're not fulfilling God's purposes for your life. You've allowed the norm to become your life. When the norm's not your life, that's the base level of this world. We live far beyond that. We live in the realm where supernaturally enabled and empowered and commissioned and divinely appointed by in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't live a normal life. Don't seek to live a normal life. And the final purpose, very quickly, as I said, this is a carryover from some things from last week. Final purpose is that to be a kingdom, a builder of his kingdom, being a kingdom builder. To be a builder of God's kingdom. And certainly reaching out to people and seeing them come into the house of God is certainly a key way of doing that. But there's gifts and talents that God has invested within each and every one of us. And we are unique. I heard someone saw something the other day, some preacher saying, oh, no, we're not actually unique. We're all actually... No, we are actually unique. You are unique. Every one of us is different. And sometimes we see our differences as a weakness, that I'm different. Oh, maybe because I'm not that, there's a weakness lacking in me. No, it's not. God just made us different. And out of the difference is what where God brings the diversity of life, the touching things. There's people that you can reach and touch that I could never touch. There's people that I can touch that you couldn't, that could never reach. But God has made us all different. Ephesians 2:10, it says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus." Now, many of you could probably quote this. "Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." And so we've got gifts and talents that God wants us to use to build his kingdom. Are you serving in God's kingdom? Are you serving in God's house? Are you using those gifts? Or are you saying, oh, let them do it instead? Or you're saying, no, actually, it's actually, well, that other scripture we read, wasn't it? As each person does his work. And so I'm a contributing person who's actually helping build the kingdom of God. I'm using my unique talents and gifts. And my heart is more and more that we continue to rise to do that. And not just serving within the local church. Everyone really should be serving some way in the church. Everyone in some way should be doing that. But every one of us also needs to be out there touching lives in the community, reaching the brokenhearted, you know, binding up their wounds, those that are poor, caring for those that are poor. And there's some things that we as a church really need to look at and taking out some of those things to touch people out in the community. And my prayer is, as people in the church are going to come and say, the Lord's been stirring this in my heart, that I have a heart, a way of actually touching some of these people that are broken, that are lost, that are destitute, that are struggling. And I'm praying for people to come and they say, look, this is what God's stirring in my heart. I'm not really sure about it. I don't know what it really looks like. But there's something there God is stirring, because I know the cry for the heart of God is that we are going to rise up and do those things that God wants us to do and to be serving in his house. But beyond that, ways and strategies, ways of touching people out in the community as well. God's positioned you uniquely. He's invested in you uniquely. He's fashioned and formed every one of us uniquely. And my purpose in life is to use whatever I have. And you say, oh, look, I don't think I've got anything. Well, if you've got the Holy Spirit, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead within you, that's a pretty good start. And the fact is that God doesn't make duds. He doesn't make useless people. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to make some super useful ones here and a whole bunch of useless people who can't do anything. He doesn't do that. People can do different things. Some people are good at one thing, good at another. You know, we had a working bee. Some of these guys are great at doing some things. I'm not so good at doing some things. We're all different, but we need all of the stuff. We need everything. And God created us to do that. And so we just have to use those things. Be serving in the church, but also having a heart outside. What am I doing to help touch out there? What am I doing to reach out there? See, your purpose is more than your career choice. It's more than just being a good mum and a good dad. And we want to be a good mum and a good daddy if you're a parent or a good brother, a good sister, a good husband, good wife, all of those things. But everyone's supposed to do that. Even people in the world actually are supposed to do that well. They struggle because they don't have the help that we have of the Lord within our lives. But let's not live on this life. If you're going to be everything that God made us to be, then we're going to grow, that we're going to be people that are growing and maturing spiritually in the things of God, as we spoke about last week. But we fulfill God's purpose. And the purposes are that we are an intimate relationship with Him and we walk in that. That we're a contributing part of the body. In other words, that I'm sowing my life into you, you're sowing your life into me. You're strengthening and holding one another. That's what makes a church grow. That's what makes the body grow, is we hold one another strongly and strengthen there. And we don't just not be there sometime and leave holes in the chain. Oh, we're there, well, I'm here. But no, I'm going to, and I'm going to give and contribute of my life. And I'm going to sow my life in there, encourage, strengthen, help one another, love and care for one another, have a heart of outreaching, and to stand in that authority you have in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we're all too scared. Well, you are all too scared if you're going as you, Chris Colley, as himself, just going to talk to someone. I might be a little bit intimidated, a little bit scared. But if I go there as the delegated authority, the one that has been empowered as God's ambassador, Christ's ambassador, and I'm going there and I'm talking to them with the confidence, not out of my own self, but with the authority that's been given to me in Jesus Christ, I can actually speak in a whole different level. And the Holy Spirit gives me words to say, I think, wow, where did that come from? Lord, thank you. And He'll speak for us and to be a builder of the kingdom of God. Be contributing. Don't leave it for someone else. It's part of God, part of your purpose in life. And so those four main areas in our life, and again, if you didn't get the book last week, it's there in the stand. But the challenge is that we're going to be everything God made us to be as we grow. And I encourage you, let's be 4 out of 4. Let's not be a 0 out of 4 or a 1, 2, 3, or 4. Let's be 4 out of 4. And as we said last week, this stuff here, even fulfilling God's purpose, it's in the realm of our choice that we make the choices and the decisions that we're going to walk in these things. So let's be everything that God has made us to be. In a minute, we're going to call the kids back and we're going to bring our gifts before the Lord. I just want to pray for us first, just as the team come and join us here. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace, Father. And Lord, that we want to be everything that you've made us to be, Lord. Do we want to grow to spiritual maturity, but Father, to fulfill your purposes in our lives. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that each one, Lord, people say, oh, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. What's my purpose? Lord, I pray, Lord, we'll hear what our purpose is. But more than that, Lord, we'll make the choices that enable us to fulfill that, Lord. And Lord, we won't make excuses, but Lord, we'll make choices instead. And Lord, that we will walk and be everything that you've made us to be, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're just going to sing this as the children come in. So Mary would like to bring the kids in. The children will come in and join us. I'll just share a couple of little thoughts about first fruits in a moment. Just read a couple of scriptures and then we'll take that up. So let's just worship and sing this as the kids come in. parents, you do need to get your children. You need to sign them out. So parents, please get your children while we sign this. Sing this. So parents, you need to sign your kids out, and we'll just sing this. Before we have the time of taking our first fruits, just want to share a couple little scriptures just as we frame this time. There's a scripture in Ezekiel 44:30. It says, "The best of all the first fruits and all your special gifts will belong to the priests. You're to give them the first portion of your ground meal so that a blessing may rest on your household." Part of them was giving is that they were sowing in for a blessing to come upon their household. Now, we know that we don't give unto God to get. But there was a principle here that as they gave that there was going to be a blessing. And certainly that's our heart in giving today, that there's going to be blessing upon every household. Now, the first fruits offering is something that was established under the Old Covenant as part of in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. And it was something that they did as a part of a whole series of many celebrations that they had. And part of it, when the harvest would come in, they would give their first fruits. And it was a part, God had decreed certain celebrations, certain festivals that they had to observe under the law. It was a law, a regulation that they had to abide by, they had to follow. Now, we're us doing first fruits, we're not under the Old Testament, we're not under the Old Covenant, we're under the New Covenant in Jesus Christ. And while tithing and giving is certainly a very important principle, and tithing is something that Jesus even said, he said, yep, you need to do that. When he told the Pharisees off, he says, you guys are tithing even your, you know, the tenth of your deal, your coming, your spices, all of that stuff, but you're not looking after anybody, looking after people. He said, keep on, you should be tithing, so don't neglect to tithe, but don't neglect the people. So that's when he told them off. But for us, as we're giving, this is a free will offering that we're giving. We're giving under God with glad hearts. And I just want to illustrate very quickly what we're doing today from the giving to the temple when they built the temple. And when King David, the Lord, put upon his heart to build a house for the Lord. And this is what David said in 1 Chronicles 29:3. He says, decides in my devotion to the temple of my God. So it's out of his devotion. I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God over and above everything I've provided for his holy temple. But it's in his devotion. And part of what we're doing today, this is an act of our devotion to God. It's about us saying, Lord, you really are first in my life. And Lord, I'm giving today out of my devotion to you. And then on the same occasion when they were taking up this incredible offering they took up for the temple, so much so in the end they had more than they even needed. In 1 Chronicles 29:5, in that process, David asked this question in verse 29, 1 Chronicles 29:5. He says, now, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? An interesting question. Who's going to consecrate themselves? Who's going to set themselves apart as holy and sacred for God's purpose? Who's willing to consecrate themselves today? So he asked the question. He says, who's going to consecrate them today? And actually, as they came and giving, that was their consecrating act. It was a part of them coming and saying, I'm separating my heart and my life. I'm separating myself under you for your purposes, that I may live for your purpose, that my heart might be set apart. That's what consecrated means. Set apart, was set apart for sacred use. That my life, and as I come and as I give, my life is set apart for your sacred use. And actually, all every purpose that you have for my life, Lord, I want that fulfilled. Every purpose for my family, Lord, that they might be fulfilled. That everything that I'm called to be, Lord, that I might grow and become those things. Who is willing today to consecrate yourself? And then after asking that question, and down further in verse 9 of 1 Chronicles 29, this is what it says. The people rejoiced at the willing response. So it's a willing response. The willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. And so there's a willing response. And we take up the first fruits. We don't want anyone dragged out kicking and screaming, feeling that they've got to give to the first fruits offering. The challenge is that we're giving is to give a week's income and whatever our faith level allows us to give. Some people might come and say, look, I'm not going to be a part of the first fruits. That's fine if you're not giving. It's an offering. It's a free will. These people gave willingly, they gave freely, and they gave wholeheartedly. And that's the heart I always want to have. A free heart, a willing heart, a generous heart, a wholehearted giving heart. But there's no obligation. And when we invite families in just a couple of minutes' time, in a minute or so's time to come forward, you might say, look, I'm not a part of the first fruits. And if you are, that's your choice and no one will think anything less of you. But we still invite every family to come forward. As you come forward, you'll either have an envelope if you're giving cash, or I've got a little pledge card we're giving online to say about online giving. Some people give online, some people give in an envelope. Some of you may have nothing to give. Well, at least bring your heart to the Lord. And so what we'll do is we're going to come out in families. There's going to be three baskets, which the guys will put just one in front of there, one in front of the middle aisle, and one in front of that aisle there. And we will come in families. You can put the baskets out now. We'll come forward in families, and as we come through, we'll gather as a family. And you come up to a basket, and you'll just stand there. You'll pause there, and you'll pray as a family. What are you going to pray? Well, what I'd be praying for is, Lord, I just pray, Lord, for my family. Lord, I pray, Lord, for every purpose of every member of my family, Lord, will be realized, Lord, that you'll guard us as a family. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're my provider. It's not your workplace. It's not, Lord, that you're my provider. And Lord, as I give to you, Lord, this is a symbol of us as a family giving our heart to you, Lord, giving our life afresh to you, Lord. But Lord, that every plan and purpose that you have for this year, for my family, will be realized. And Lord, I'm giving, Lord, I'm so grateful, Lord, for your faithfulness, Lord, for your my provider, Lord, and give in such a way, such a heart as we give. Now, if there's anyone here now that's not prepared, you didn't get an envelope when you came in, just put your hand up. If you haven't, if you want an envelope now, just put your hand up and someone will bring you an envelope. Or if you give it online and you want to just put a card in, put your hand up. So stewards, if you can just wait upon those that don't have envelopes or what just have their hand up, they'll quickly do that now. But that's the heart in which we're going to give today. So we're going to invite people to come, and families are going to pray for us first. But take a moment to pause there. This is an important moment. We're in the presence of God. There's some quiet music that'll be playing. There's a hand right up in the back corner there. But just come as a family and just allow God just to do something. Come with expectation. Just don't walk in and just chuck it in the basket and go, come at this point. This is a releasing of my faith. Lord, as I put this in, this is a trigger point, a releasing of my faith as I put that in. And Lord, I'm going to be praying for my family and praying with all my heart. So I encourage you to do that. Come in faith. Take a moment and pause. Don't pray for a half an hour because we'll all be here until midnight. But just take a moment, you know, 20, 30 seconds, however long you pray, a minute, don't pray for 10, a minute or two that you pray, just take some moment and just really sowing in faith for the coming year. On this commitment card, it says here, it says, for the first fruit offering, I'm sowing in faith for the coming year into all the Lord has for my family and for us as a church family together, because I'm actually sowing into the vision of the church. It enables us to do a whole lot of stuff that we just can't do at a tithes and offering, equipment, investing in departments, holding carols, events, outreach and different things. It really is very helpful as a church. We consecrate ourselves for God's purposes and trust Him with all that we have. We give our very best out of love and appreciation. That's a grateful giving heart. And so I'm just going to pray for us now. Let's just bow our heads together and then we'll start inviting families to come forward. Father, Lord, as we sit here, Lord, we're just so aware of your holy presence with us. And Lord, we're aware of our dependence upon you. Lord, our very life comes from you, Lord. Even as I prayed in the prayer meeting this morning, Lord, every day is a gift. And it is, Lord. Every heartbeat's a gift. Every moment is a gift. And Lord, we are so grateful for the life that we have, Lord, and all that you've sown into us. So we want to give generously, willingly, freely unto you, Lord, as a sign, Lord, of our surrender, a sign of our appreciation, Lord, as a step of faith, Lord, and just to bring honor and glory to your name. So Father, as we come in families, I just pray for your blessing upon each one in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're just going to have some quiet music now. And just as you feel, you just stand up and make your way. There's three baskets there. So if you want to line up behind them, you can, or you can remain seated until there's one free. But let's now just do this. Let's come forward and bring this under.